want you to think back. For some of you, it's quite a long time. For some of you, it's not that long at all. I want you to think back to the time when you first realized that this girl that God had brought into your life, that you loved her. And then the next thing I want you to think about is, do you remember that time when you suddenly realized that because you loved her, you really kind of want to spend the rest of her life with her? Or maybe you're on the other side of the equation and you remember the time that this guy that God brought into your life, that you loved him and wanted to spend your life with them. I remember that day. And I remember realizing, boy, I want to invite this beautiful woman to come and share my life together. And there we were in Calgary. I picked her up in the evening. She was working for a Youth Alive in Christ ministry at the time for Dave Bouchard. And picked her up and took her to the romantic place I could think of. It was a hill in Calgary overlooking a cemetery. But it was dark, so it was okay. You could see the lights of Calgary in the background. And I asked her, "Yo, Sheena, if you put this ring on your finger, you'll make me the happiest man in the whole world." And she just kind of... You see, that's what love does, isn't it? That when we realize that we love somebody, we invite them. We invite them into our life. We invite them into our circle. We invite them into a relationship. I mean, whether we think about sharing our love by inviting children to join us, or we invite friends that we love into our homes, or whatever it is, love invites. It just is kind of part of what love is. Now, this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday where we think about love and the love of God. And what I want us to drive into our hearts is this sentence we have up here: God loves, and love invites. He just does. As a matter of fact, the entire story from creation until lying into the future when Jesus returns, this entire story is a love story, and it's a love story of invitation. Because you see, God loves and love invites. The love story and the invitation begins right immediately at the whole point of creation. Because you see, God created us in His image. He created all the rest of the stuff, and then He created people. And God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created people, humankind, in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Why did God do that? Because He wanted a creation that could receive love, that could understand what love is, and a creation that could love God back, a creation that could be caught up into this divine relationship of Father, Son, and the Spirit, which is a relationship of love. And we're worshiping together like this. We're caught up into the adoration of the Father, Son for the Father, and the Spirit for the Son, and gathered in to this relationship. So at the very beginning, the story begins with invitation of a love story. But the story continues. We remember what happens. Sin enters the world. We choose to sin. We go away from God. But here's the amazing thing. God is love, and love invites. And so in spite of rebellion, in spite of our failure to be faithful to God, He continues to love. Remember what happens. We'd sinned, and so because we'd sinned, we went and we hid ourselves. We couldn't stand being God. And God, always, He had this habit, it seems, that in the cool of the day, He would come down to earth in some special way, in some manifest way, and He would walk with Adam and Eve. He'd walk with man and woman. And God shows up one evening to enjoy Adam and Eve, and for them to enjoy Him, but of course, they're nowhere to be found. They hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden, but the Lord called out to them, "Where are you?" Now we need to understand that this is the cry, this is the call of love. I mean, obviously God knew exactly what had happened. He's God. But this is the cry of love. It's the cry of a broken heart whose lover has left them and is hiding from them, and they just cries out, "Where are you? Won't you come back to me? Won't you come so that I can lavish my love upon you? Won't you come and begin this relationship over here? Won't you come and so that we can carry on?" You see, in spite of our failure, in spite of our sin, in spite of our rebellion, God continues to love, because God is love, and love invites, and God invites us even in the midst of sin and rebellion, to return to Him. You know, as I've said before, I use the one-year Bible for my daily devotions, and last Wednesday, the devotion was in the prophet Micah. And there's this marvelous passage in the prophet Micah. He talks about punishing Israel and that sort of stuff because they were in rebellion. But then in verse 18, look at this. Who's a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever. But look at this last phrase. But you delight to show mercy. Oh, what an incredible God. What an incredible love story. What an incredible love statement. That God delights. He gets a thrill out of His heart surges when we'll come back to Him and we'll say, Father, Lord, I have sinned. I've gone away from You. And it says that God delights to show mercy. He delights to pour. The word there is hesed. And you've heard me blab about hesed forever. It means loving kindness, everlasting love. All kinds of different translations we find in the Bible. Or mercy. This is God. This is the love story. You see, God is love, and love invites, even in the midst of rebellion, where are you? Come back to Me so that I can lavish My love upon you, My forgiveness upon you, because I delight. I get a charge out of. I want to forgive you and show mercy. A while later, God really begins to put this action of bringing us back to Him into play. And He calls a man by the name of Abram. And Abram's living his life in the earth of the Chaldeans, but God comes to him and He says, listen, Abram, I want to invite you to do something. I love the people of the earth, and I've got to kick off this plan of salvation here. And so in Genesis chapter 12, He says, go from your country and your people, your father's household, to the land I'll show you. Leave what you're embedded in, and I invite you to come with Me. Why? Because I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. But more importantly than that, what you don't understand is that the Messiah, the Savior, is going to come from your line, and all of the peoples of the earth are going to be blessed through you. I invite you to come and let's kick off this plan of salvation. Let's begin this redemption plan, because God is love, and love invites. And invites Abram to come and begin putting into action the plan formed before the creation of the world. Well, Abram goes and he settles in the promised land a little bit there and so on, and history goes on, and you remember there's a story, you know, the people multiply and so on, and there's a guy by the name of Joseph, and he's the younger son and all this stuff, and his brother hates him, and he ends up being over and sold into slavery into Egypt, but God was with Joseph. That's the phrase that keeps applying in this story, and pretty soon Joseph rises to be second in command of Egypt, and a famine hits the land. You remember the story? The famine hits the land. And so Joseph invites his fathers and his brothers to come into Egypt and receive food. And the Hebrew people move into Egypt. And the people are blessed by Joseph's leadership. And the people, or the Hebrew people, multiply. But then it says, but then a Pharaoh arose who did not remember Joseph. Who forgot that it was through Joseph that Egypt became powerful, and Egypt became strong. And so they enslave the Hebrews. And for centuries the Hebrew people cry out to their God who loves them. They say, Lord, won't You come? Won't You deliver us? Won't You invite us back into Your presence? Can we not have Your blessing again? And when the land of promise was full of evil and it could get no more evil, then God raised up Moses and brought about the Exodus. And there's this marvelous phrase here in Exodus, and it says, in 19, it says, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, and He said, this is what you're to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you're to tell the people of Israel. Look at this phrase, I love this. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and brought you to Myself. I invited you out of slavery. I invited you and I carried you out to be with Me. And now if you'll obey Me fully and keep My covenant, then out of all the nations, you'll be My treasured possession. And although the whole earth is Mine, you will be for Me a kingdom of priests, priests are one that stand in the gap between a God and the people. He says, you will be a kingdom of priests. You'll be the ones that point the whole rest of the people to me and explain to them and show them that I'm a God of love and that I'm a God who invites, and you will be a holy, a special nation to achieve this purpose. You see, God loves, and love invites. Well, the people get out of there and they settle in the promised land and things are okay for a while, and then they go to pot. And we come to the period of the time of the judges. And you read the book of Judges, it is a disaster. Time after time after time, there are 15 judges. 15 times that God's people stray away from Him, and God raises up a judge to invite His people to come back to Him, to invite His people to come back to covenants, and people would stray, and He'd raise up a judge and invite them back, and people would stray, and God would raise up a judge and invite them back, time after time after time, again and again and again. All through the story of the book of Judges, it's about people wandering away from God and God coming and inviting them back again, because you're my beloved people. Don't do this. Don't break my heart. You're my beloved child. You're my beloved bride. Come back to me. Again and again in the book of Judges, we see this love story of invitation unfolding, because God is love and love invites. Well, after a while, the people tire of the chaos in which they've been living all through these times, and they begin to cry out for a king. It's a bit tricky, because that hurts God's heart, because He says, no, I'm your king. Why do you want another? If you get another human king, he'll be like the other kings, and he'll take your sons to war, and he'll take your daughters and all these different things. But the people cried out for a king because they couldn't stand the chaos. And so we enter into the time in this love story of the kings and the prophets. When I thought about the fourth Sunday in the time of the prophets, I couldn't help but think of Hosea. Hosea kicked around at the same time as Isaiah. And it was a time of prosperity for the northern kingdom. But they became so prosperous that they forgot about God. They kind of figured they're doing it on their own and began to serve other gods. And so God says, this is like a wife who is an adulteress to me. And so He raises up the prophet Hosea, and He says, I want you to act like I act. And I want you to go and marry a prostitute. I need you to go and pour your heart out to a woman who is unfaithful to you again and again, because this is what it's like for me and Israel, for me and my people. I pour out my love to them and they are unfaithful to me. They pursue their own ends. They have their own gods. They go there, and I want you to go and live out before the people how I feel. And so Hosea goes and he marries Gomer the prostitute. And in the second chapter, God kind of lays out His heart for a little bit. And there's this marvelous passage in chapter 2 where God is speaking about Israel. And this is what He says. There's people that have gone away from me. He says, listen, therefore I'm now going to allure her. We think about God in the Old Testament. You know, sometimes we've got this idea that He's the vengeful God, the God with the big hammer, and Jesus is sweet and mild and all that stuff. No, no, no. Listen to this love language of a broken-hearted husband to his people. He says, look, I'm going to take her and I'm going to allure her. I'm going to lead her into the wilderness and I'm going to speak tenderly to her. Then I'll give her back her vineyards and I'll make her valley of Achor a door of hope. Let's keep this thing going. I just want to invite you back into the faithfulness of covenantal love and covenantal marriage. And there she will respond, as in the days of her youth, as in the days she came up out of Egypt. Then when I allure her, I'm going to give her this love story again. I'm going to invite her, come back to me once again. And begins to unfold, and sure enough, Gomer leaves Hosea. Takes up with other men. And God says, now is the time for you to do, Hosea, what I do to my people again and again, because I'm a God of love and love invites. And this happens in chapter 3. The Lord said to me, that's to Hosea, go and show your love to your wife again. though she is loved by another man, and though she is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods, and they love their sacred raisin cakes. So I bought for her 15 shekels, and so can you imagine this? This is the God that there we are, we're out there pursuing our own gods and doing our own thing, and God comes and pays the price for us to come back to Him, because God is love and love invites. And so He says, and so Hosea, you go and you get the stuff and you buy with 15 shekels of silver, a homer and an acre of barley, and go to her and buy her back and love her back and say to her, you're to live with me all the days of your life, and you must not be a prostitute or an intimate with another man, and I will behave in the same way towards you. You see, God is love. And love invites. In spite of unfaithfulness on the part of the lover. Well, the story goes on, and eventually we come to the ultimate love and the ultimate invitation. Jesus. And his whole life is just a marvelous invitation to love. Do you remember this story? Jesus is teaching there in one of the towns. And finally he's getting some of the attention of the important people, the big guys in the town. And they're beginning to gather around, and as Jesus is teaching, they begin to listen and question. And then there's these little rugrats, these little kids, that somehow they can sense in Jesus something that's different than all the other rabbis. And they're trying to worm their way through between the legs and between the cloaks of the people who are standing and trying to get to Jesus. And the disciples notice this. And they're saying, no, these important people, now they're finally listening to Jesus, we can't have Jesus be distracted. And so they begin to grab these kids by the scruff of the neck and drag them back out of the center. And Jesus sees this and his heart breaks. As a matter of fact, he gets kind of ticked off, because the disciples should know better, that he's a God who loves and love invites. And so he says to them, hold it, what are you doing? Let those little children come to me, and hinder them not. Because the kingdom of God belongs to people like this. The kingdom of God belongs to people who know how to respond shamelessly to the offer of love. And Jesus invites the children, because God is love. And love invites. And Jesus invites the faithful ones. You remember that the Jews had to go to Jerusalem periodically to keep festivals, feasts, celebrations of God's love. And one of the festivals that they kept was the festival of Sukkot, the festival of tabernacles. And there was a couple of different meanings for the festival of tabernacles. The first was, people used to go out and they'd build like lean-tos against their house, and they'd camp out during this festival. And it was to remind them that God provided for them in the wilderness. But it was also happened at harvest time, and it was a reminder that God provides the bounty of the harvest. And there was this kind of a cool thing that they did at the end of the last day of the feast. And the priest would go down to the pool of Siloam, and they'd take this golden pitcher, and they scoop water up from the pool of Siloam, and they take it into the temple grounds, and they pour that water into a silver basin. And that would remind them in that arid land that God provides the water of life. Right? Does that make sense to you? It's a harvest festival. God provides this water. They brought a bucket load of wine there too, to say it's really good provision. But this water, and one of these times Jesus is there. And it says, on the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and he said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. I invite you, come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, rivers, gushing, wild, lively, living rivers will flow from them. And by this he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to later receive. It's really a cool thing, because that little phrase, "Let anyone thirsty, let him come to me," that thing of "come to me," it means let him continually come to me. Let her continually come to me. Let's understand that every time we become spiritually, physically, whatever, dry and all worn out and tired, then Jesus says, listen, every minute of every day, you just keep coming on back to me so that I can pour onto you the water that brings you life. And it's going to so drench you and so quench your thirst that there's going to be excess that's going to flow to you, to other people. I invite you to just keep on coming. Because you see, God is love. And love invites. And then, of course, there's the ultimate invitation. Jesus begins to prophesy he's going to die. And he begins to talk about the nature of his death. He says, listen, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I'm going to invite and draw all the people to myself. He did this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. And what Jesus is saying is that when I'm hanging on the cross, it's just an invitation of love for all people to come, so that I can gather them into my embrace. No matter who they are, what they've done, how far away they've gone, how many times they've stumbled, how many times they've had spiritual adultery, how many times they've chased after the gods, how many times they've shaken their fist at God, how many times they've broken, no matter what, it's just a big invitation of love. Come and let me gather you in, because I'll pay the price. Because you see, God is love. And love invites. So how do we put this on the ground? This incredible love story that begins with creation and will conclude and then carry on for eternity when Jesus comes in all of his fullness and all of his glory. I think there's a couple of ways. The first is for ourselves. Sometimes we haven't yet heard the invitation of God. We forget that God is love and that love invites. And maybe some of you need to say yes to that invitation. Maybe some of you need to get baptized. You might not make it this year. Why not say, I'm going to say yes to this invitation. I'm going to make covenant with God, and He will be my God, and I will be His people. And I'm going to live together in this covenant of love. Maybe you're somebody that knows the Father, knows the Son, and knows the Spirit, but somehow you've wandered away. And you need to get back into that whole thing of Micah that says, no, but God says, I delight in drenching you in my hesed, in my loving kindness, in my mercy, in my forgiveness. Let's get things right. If that's your spot, then just come and grab me or one of the elders or somebody afterwards and let us know. But there's another way. God is love, and love invites, and God dwells within us, and there are people that you love. There are people that you love, friends, mum, dad, brother, sister, neighbors, partners. There's people that you love that you can invite. That you can invite to hear and celebrate and know the love of God. Christmas is a great time to do that. People are just a little more open at Christmas to that invitation. In fact, they'll lots of times carry over their own personal barriers if you invite them. We've got a Christmas Eve service. 7 o'clock Christmas Eve. We're going to sing carols. We're going to hear the story of God's love. It's not going to drag on all night. It's going to be something that people that don't normally hang around church are comfortable with. And why don't you invite those people that you love to come and join you for that time? Maybe have them back to your house for some snacks afterwards. They won't be eating much the next day. You've got to tide them over. You see, God is love. And love invites. And we've got this incredible opportunity to invite to that love. Let's pray. Almighty God, we're so very thankful that you define love. And we're so very thankful that you continually invite us to come back, because we know we mess up at times. And we are so thankful. Who is a God that is like you, that delights in showing mercy? And some of us this week need to hear that invitation again and respond to it. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just speak to our hearts and that we would heed that invitation of love. But Father, we all have people in our lives, friends and acquaintances and workmates and relatives and all the rest, that somehow they have eluded your grasp of love. And I pray that you bring these folks to our hearts and that we would invite them to come and hear and celebrate the story of love. Your story. Our story. Because you are love. And love invites. And so do we. Because your love flows through us by your Spirit. So let your love flow. We pray through Christ our Savior. Amen.